Muchas gracias a Mauricio para ayudándome. Yo no puedo hablar español suficiente para predicar, pero necesito la ayuda. So, here we go. So, today is a very special day.
Hoy es un día muy especial.
Because it's the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm an American. Do you guys watch the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay. I don't care who wins. I say the heroes are right here. Because we had class yesterday, 8 hours. 8 hours of classes. And the number that were there at the end was as many as when we started. If we did something like that in Merced, they would not come. So I'm proud of the church here. Okay, so we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit today. It'll be a little bit more like teaching than preaching. But of course, we'll do some preaching too, of course. So we're going to ask some questions. Like, what is the Holy Spirit? Or, who is He? What is His role in our lives? Does He speak to us? How's that work? Well, let's start in John chapter 16, verse 5 through 7. So Jesus tells them, I'm leaving. And they're very sad. You can see why. He says, you shouldn't be sad. He says, it's better that I leave. And they must have thought, how could that be a good thing? He says, because when I leave, then I'll send the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you a question. Which would you rather have? Jesus right here with us, walking around, teaching, giving His advice, giving His consejo, His advice, or have the Holy Spirit living in you? Jesus says, it's much better to have the Holy Spirit living in you than to have Him here with us. I think we perhaps do not emphasize the Holy Spirit as much as we should. So on a daily basis, are you aware of the Holy Spirit? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? We pray to the Father. If the Holy Spirit is living in you, maybe you could talk to Him. Maybe so. Do you recognize the Holy Spirit working in your life? I got a fun question. What book in the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit the most? By a lot. Hechos. Very good. Who said Acts? All right, good job. Good job, brother. Now, a little bit of background. If you're a visitor, maybe you don't understand maybe where our fellowship comes from. We come from the Churches of Christ.
Venimos de las Iglesias de Cristo.
A movement begun back in the 19th century.
Y empezamos allá en el siglo XIX.
Some of the leaders were like, for example, Barton Stone. Actually, that's Alexander Campbell, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Right. Anyway, I'm very proud of this movement. It was an attempt to return Christians to the Bible, to the truth of the Bible, to living Christianity as the early church did. Alexander Campbell, he was really smart. He spoke before the Senate of the United States. He published a translation of the Bible that was used more than any other Bible other than the King James Version. But he was also very intellectual. He wanted to analyze the Bible almost like science. And he thought everything in Christianity should be logical. But there's a problem. The Holy Spirit, you can't put him in a box. It says he comes and goes like the wind, right? And so Campbell and others were very suspicious of the Holy Spirit working. Because you can't predict the Holy Spirit. You can't tie him down. You can't explain him logically. And another thing, there are some believers around us who believe in things about the Holy Spirit. We're like, I don't know about that. You know, they prophesy and Jesus told me this, and they do some gifts that we think maybe aren't from the Bible. But this is human nature. You see what somebody's doing. You say, I don't agree with that. And you tend to swing the pendulum. But I don't want to do that. I want to let the Holy Spirit work. I don't want to overreact to those who maybe don't have the right idea. So let's not let what we disagree with steal our experience of the Holy Spirit. Does the Bible ever warn against emphasizing the Spirit too much? No. A good friend of mine, James Guitry, said this. Las enseñanzas carismáticas han lanzado un gran sombre en la panorama teológico. A nosotros especialmente. Okay. Gracias. Alright. So now I want to, by the way, I've been asked to speak on this subject many times. And what people have asked me to do is explain what the Holy Spirit doesn't do. I have no interest in that. None. I want to talk about what he does do. So, here's our outline. A sermon with 9 points? Oh, that's going to be a really long sermon. Don't worry. Number one. He lives in us. John 14, verse 17.
Juan 14, versículo 17.
Sí.
Es decir, el Espíritu de verdad, a quien el mundo no puede recibir, porque ni lo ve ni lo conoce, pero ustedes sí lo conocen porque mora con ustedes y está, estará con ustedes.
So Jesus is talking to the apostles.
Así que Jesús está hablando a los apóstoles.
He says the Holy Spirit, he's been around.
Dice, el Espíritu Santo ha estado alrededor de nosotros.
He's been with us the whole time.
Ha estado con nosotros todo el tiempo.
But soon,
pero pronto,
when I go away,
vaya,
I'm going to send the Holy Spirit,
yo creo que el Espíritu Santo,
and he's going to live in you. Do you understand the privilege? If you're a disciple of Jesus, God lives in you. How about that? The creator of the universe. He lives in you. That's almost scary. Acts 5, 1 through 4.
Pero cierto hombre llamado Ananías, con Safira su mujer, vendió una propiedad y se quedó con la parte del precio, sabiéndolo también su mujer, y trayendo la otra parte la puso a los pies de los apóstoles. Pero Pedro le dijo: Ananías, ¿por qué ha llenado Satanás tu corazón para mentir al Espíritu Santo y quedarte con parte del precio del terreno? Mientras estaba sin venderse, no te pertenecía y después de vendida no estaba bajo tu poder. ¿Por qué concebiste este asunto en tu corazón? No has mentido a los hombres, sino a Dios. Al oír a Ananías estas palabras, cayó y expiró. Y dio un gran temor, vino un gran temor sobre todos los que lo supieron.
Now we know the story of Ananias and Sapphira.
Ya conocías la historia de Ananías y Sapphira.
It's not a very good story. And they lied, yes? But notice what the apostle said. He didn't say you lied to us. He didn't say you lied to the church. He said you lied to the Holy Spirit. Think about this. He lives in us. Imagine. You're looking at pornography. And the Holy Spirit is looking at pornography. Imagine you're getting drunk. And you're making the Holy Spirit experience, I guess, drunkenness. So it's a great honor for the Holy Spirit to live in us. But it's also a responsibility. He knows everything we think and do. I think he might know you better than you know yourself. I think of it as like being on a date. And you're there in the car. You're with the girl. You're with the girl. But your mother is sitting in the back seat. Okay. We're going to do the right thing here. Well, the Holy Spirit is living in you. Do you recognize that? I think it might help you to overcome sin. Acts 5, verse 29 through 32.
Pero Pedro y los apóstoles respondieron: debemos obedecer a Dios en vez de obedecer a los hombres. El Dios de nuestros padres resucitó a Jesús, a quien ustedes mataron y colgaron en una cruz. A él Dios lo exaltó a su diestra como príncipe y salvador para dar arrepentimiento a Israel y perdón de pecados. Y nosotros somos testigos de estas cosas y también el Espíritu Santo, el cual Dios ha dado.
I want to look at verse 32. I want to look at verse
32.
It says, we are witnesses of what Christ did. But so is the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit is witnesses of everything we do. Point number two. Although the Holy Spirit gives us power, the principal thing to know about the Holy Spirit, it's about a relationship. It makes us have a much more intimate relationship with God. He's right there. When you're sleeping, when you're awake. Even when, never mind. I was going to say even when you're in the bathroom, but that doesn't sound right. So John 14.
Dice, entonces, yo rogaré al Padre y Él les dará otro Consolador para que esté con ustedes para siempre. Es decir, el Espíritu de verdad, a quien el mundo no puede recibir, porque ni lo ve ni lo reconoce. Pero ustedes sí lo conocen, porque mora en ustedes y estará en ustedes. No los dejaré huérfanos, vendré a ustedes.
We already read verse 17, of course. But in verse 18, we hear, you're not orphans. Before the Holy Spirit came and lived in you, at least in a sense, you were an orphan from God. But now, He lives in you. It's about closeness. It's about a relationship. It's about an intimate relationship with God. Point number three. He lives in us. But we could either be more filled with the Holy Spirit or less filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, I don't think I understand exactly what that means. I'm a scientist. I'm a chemistry professor. I want everything to be logical, like a formula. The Holy Spirit frustrates me. Because you can't explain Him. Acts 6, 2 through 3. So they're looking to fill a position in the church. And what qualities are they looking for? Hard worker. Very honest. Good speaker. Very smart. No. Filled with the Holy Spirit. The early church, I believe, was far more aware of the work of the Holy Spirit than we are. Let's notice that. So this tells me something. Some of you are more filled with the Holy Spirit than others. I don't know who. But they could tell. How would you know if somebody is more filled with the Spirit? Maybe there's a light on your forehead that gets brighter or something. I think this was somebody who understands the scriptures quite deeply. I think this is somebody who has very strong conviction about sin. I think this is somebody who is joyful always. So, I don't know, look around. Who do you think might be more filled with the Spirit? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now everybody's going to be walking around. Not so full. No, let's not be judging. I'm making a joke, but let's not judge, okay? All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Sí. Exactamente. Is it time for me to...
Estén siempre gozosos, oren sin cesar, den gracias de todo porque esta es la voluntad de Dios para ustedes en Cristo. No apaguen el Espíritu.
All right, so it says here,
aquí dice,
literally,
literalmente,
don't put water on the Spirit's fire.
No pongan agua en el fuego del Espíritu.
Now, I've got a choice. I've got a question. Would you rather be more filled with the Holy Spirit? Or less filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, that's the easiest question I ever heard. Well, then don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench. Don't put out the fire. Well, how do you do that? By sinning, obviously. By having impure thoughts. But I have another idea. By not listening to him. You know the picture of the husband? The husband? Esposo? Is sitting at the table. Reading the newspaper. His wife is talking to him. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Maybe that's like us with the Holy Spirit. He says, go share with that person. How's the soccer game going? So I suggest, and that brings me to point number four, actually. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He influences us. Now I'll be honest with you. As a scientist, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with this idea. Just a little bit. Because how can you be sure? But I know the early church was more comfortable with this than I am. Acts 8, verse
29-31.
How do you get to the scriptures so fast? I'm still looking for that one. He's fast. Okay, what's it say here? It's like the Holy Spirit orchestrated the whole situation. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, you see that chariot over there? Go over there. Now, how did this happen? Do you think it was like this?
Philip, go to that chariot.
I don't think that's what happened.
No creo que eso fue lo que sucedió.
Philip saw that chariot,
Felipe vio ese carruaje,
and his heart, he realized,
y en su corazón se dio cuenta,
I got to talk to that guy.
Yo tengo que hablarle a esa persona.
How do you know?
¿Cómo sabes?
How do you know the Holy Spirit is prompting you?
¿Cómo sabes que el Santo está motivando?
My answer is, I don't know. But let me give you an idea. You say, the Holy Spirit wants me to go into that bar. No. The Holy Spirit wants me to yell at my wife. No. The Holy Spirit wants me to read this scripture. The Holy Spirit wants me to encourage this sister. She's looking like she's having a hard time. The Holy Spirit wants me to share my faith with this person. Remember, Jesus said, you're going to be brought before kings, right? And the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say at that time. Have you ever had somebody ask you a question? And you give an answer? You say, wow, that was amazing. Where did that come from? The Holy Spirit. So, I don't have a formula on this one. But I do believe He does influence us. We have clear evidence here in the Bible. So let's listen to His voice. All right, number five. He helps us in our prayers. Romans 8. 26 a 27. Romans 8.
Y aquel que escudriña los corazones sabe cuál es el sentir del Espíritu, porque él intercede por los santos conforme a la voluntad de Dios.
I think this one maybe we were more aware of. I think most of us were already aware of Acts 28:29. I'm sorry. Romans 8:26. So He helps us in our prayers. The Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. He expresses those deep feelings. Things that words can't even say. You know, I was trained to pray. And I was taught that praying is talking. That's what praying is. It's talking. But I think praying is more than talking. I think it's also listening. And it's also expressing our heart. But we don't know how to do that. And the Holy Spirit helps us in that. Sometimes words are not very helpful. Remember that time? You're with, she's your wife now, or he's your husband. You're having dinner. You're talking. And suddenly you stop. You looked in her eyes. She looked in your eyes. It was like 10,000 words. I think sometimes we need to stop talking. And let the Holy Spirit work. Maybe to meditate. To reflect. To consider. Point number six. That's going to be in Acts 13, verse 2 through 4.
Mientras ministraban al Señor y ayunaban, el Espíritu Santo dijo: aparten a Bernabé y a Saulo para la obra que los he llamado. Entonces, después de ayunar, orar y haber puesto las manos sobre ellos, los enviaron. Ellos, pues, enviados por el Espíritu Santo, descendieron a Seleucia y allí se embarcaron a Chipre.
Like I said,
como lo dije,
it seems like the church in Acts was much more aware of the voice of the Holy Spirit. But again, how did this happen? They're trying to appoint somebody to go on a mission team. So what do you think happened? What do you think happened?
Set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul.
I don't think that's what happened. I think they were having a lively discussion. Different candidates were mentioned. They thought of the positive and the negative. And they're discussing. And suddenly they realized, it's clear. There's no doubt about it.
No hay duda al respecto.
It's Barnabas and Saul. And they said, oh, that was the Holy Spirit. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to our meetings. Almost like keep an empty seat next to us. In my opinion, He works even if we're not aware of Him. But even more if we are. Point number seven. John 16. 12 through 13. The Holy Spirit does a lot of stuff. It's pretty cool. Okay, John 16.
Aún tengo muchas cosas que decirles, pero ahora no las pueden soportar. Pero cuando el Espíritu de verdad venga, los guiará a toda libertad, porque no hablará por su propia cuenta, sino que hablará todo lo que oiga y les hará saber lo que habrá de ellos.
It says the Holy Spirit will guide us.
Dice el Espíritu Santo los guiará.
To lead us.
Así que dirígenos.
To understand the truth. Now for many years,
pero por muchos años,
I'm a Church of Christ guy, you know.
Soy una persona de la Iglesia de Cristo.
I believe he was only talking about the apostles.
Yo creía que eso solamente era para los apóstoles.
That he was inspiring the apostles.
Que solamente inspiraba a los apóstoles.
So they would give us inspired truth in the Bible.
Que solamente nos inspiraría a través de la Biblia.
By the way, I still believe that.
Pero todavía creo eso.
And that's part of what Jesus is talking about.
Y es parte de lo que Jesús está hablando.
But I also believe He will help us to understand the truth. So when you're praying, invite the Holy Spirit. And when you're studying the Scriptures, invite the Holy Spirit. He'll help you understand God's Word. Point number eight. So I told you, 9 points, pretty fast. Point number eight. He helps us to overcome sin. John 16, 8-11.
Juan 6, 8-11. ustedes no tendrá más, y de juicio, porque el príncipe de este mundo ha sido juzgado.
So he will convict the world
él convencerá al mundo
regarding sin.
Sobre su pecado.
Well, if he'll convict the world about sin,
pero aunque convencerá al mundo del pecado,
do you think he might convict you about sin?
¿También crees que puede convencer de tu pecado?
I think so.
Yo creo que sí.
He'll help us to overcome sin.
Nos ayudará a vencer el pecado.
In fact, let's read Romans 8.
De hecho, leamos Romanos 8.
Verses 6 through 14. In Romans 8, almost the entire chapter is about the Holy Spirit. But we're going to read just 9 verses. Actually, verse 15 and 16 as well, please.
Pues ustedes no han recibido un espíritu de esclavitud para volver otra vez al temor, sino que han recibido un espíritu de adopción como hijos por el cual clamamos, Abba Padre. El espíritu mismo da testimonio a nuestro espíritu de que somos hijos de Dios.
If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you,
si no tienes el Espíritu Santo viviendo en ti,
you're a slave to sin. That's a bad situation. You remember what that was like. You tried to stop and you couldn't. You tried to start and you couldn't. But if the Holy Spirit's living in you, you're no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave to sin. And this scripture is about a relationship as well. Because he lives in us, we're children of God. We've been adopted. God chose us. We received the inheritance. We call God Papa. Daddy.
Papi.
That's amazing. We're heirs.
Somos herederos.
Because he lives in us.
Porque vive en nosotros.
Now we go to my favorite fact about the Holy Spirit.
Ahora vamos a mi tema favorito del Espíritu Santo.
I'm glad that he lives in us.
Yo estoy muy feliz que vive en nosotros.
I'm glad that he wants to fill us. He wants to fill us up. That he helps us to overcome sin. That he helps us to appoint leaders in the church. But here's my favorite part. It's in Ephesians 1. Verse 13 and 14.
En él también ustedes, después de escuchar escuchar el mensaje de la verdad, el evangelio de su salvación, y habiendo creído, fueron sellados en él con el Espíritu Santo de la promesa, que nos es dado como garantía de nuestra herencia, con las miras a la redención de la posesión adquirida de Dios para alabanza de su gloria.
So if the Holy Spirit is living in you, your ticket has been punched. You're going to the Super Bowl, and you got front row seats. And they're saying, welcome. Let me take you to your seat. It's a guarantee. It's the best guarantee you have. They guarantee your car. Does that mean it won't break down? Does that mean it won't break? This is the best guarantee you could ever have. He is a seal. If he lives in you, your place is set. Your room is prepared. And when you die, you will be welcomed into the kingdom of God. You know, I had a bunch of other things I was going to say. I was going to talk about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. But let me summarize with this. Let's go to Galatians 5. Normally, when we read Galatians 5, we're reading that list of sins. Okay. But that's not what he's talking about in Galatians 5. He's talking about the Holy Spirit and his role in our lives. He says many things about the Holy Spirit. For example, in Galatians 5, verse 25. Actually, Galatians 5, 16 first. He tells us, let's walk with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 25, in Romans 8, 14, we're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Romans 7, 6, we're told to live by the power of the Spirit. In Romans 8, 14, we're told to be led by the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 5, 25, we're told to be in step with the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, let us stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Buenas tardes. Vamos a continuar con la clase.
No.
Estoy aquí para dar los mensajes para esta semana, pero antes quería comentar algo que decía nuestro hermano. Hoy hay un evento muy importante deportivo y mucha gente se despertó el día de hoy con ganas de ser parte de ese evento y estar en el evento y hacer todo por ese evento.